Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the NBA Podcast presented by B-Ball Breakdown. I'm Brian Toporek, and joining me, as always, is Morten Jensen. How's it going, Morten?
It's going real well, Bri, even though I'm not a multi-millionaire like some of these people right now. How about you?
I know. Likewise, not a multi-millionaire, but dare to dream. Maybe the salary cap will inflate writer salaries once all the free agents get paid out.
We should have like a podcaster salary cap.
That'd be pretty sweet. Let's see if we can get a union involved and see if they get that worked into the next CBA.
Salary cap floor of 50 million.
So we're recording this Friday afternoon. It's 1 o'clock Central Time. So free agency has been going on for about 14 hours now. And breaking news, the 76ers have just agreed to a 3-year, $27 million deal with Jared Bayless.
Well, he can shoot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had to know that it was coming, because in the first 14 hours or so, we've already seen $920 million handed out. So we've seen a ridiculous number of huge contracts. We were going to talk about worst contracts in a little bit, but now I'm kind of heartbroken, and I feel like the Bayless thing needs to be mentioned right away. I'm going to give that a little time to marinate while we talk about the favorite signings that we've seen so far. So, Morten, give me your best ones.
Jordan Clarkson. But here's the thing. I know that they were limited in what they could offer LA because of the arenas provision, but... Yep. He could have technically just accepted the qualifying offer and become an unrestricted free agent in 2017, effectively raising his contract by 100%. He could have gotten a $100 million deal next year.
So I think if he accepted the qualifying offer, he still would have been restricted next year. But that said, he could have taken an offer sheet this year and gotten about $60 million instead of $50. So I'm with you in the fact that, like, he's easily one of the biggest steals in free agency. I can't believe how did his agent let him sign for a penny less than $60 million? That, like, a team is guaranteed to give him that offer sheet. There's no question, because you mentioned the arenas provision. For those who don't know, it limits the amount that other teams are able to offer players who only have 1 or 2 years in the league. So it's basically used only for second-round picks or undrafted free agents, not first-round picks, because they have, you know, usually have a 4-year deal coming off their rookie contracts. So with opposing teams, if they offer the offer sheet, they're limited to the mid-level exception in year one, which is about $5.6 million, a 4.5% raise in year two, which is about $5.8 million, and then they can do the max in year three, which is around $24 million, and a 4.1% raise on that in the fourth year. So if another team had given Clarkson an offer sheet, it would have been about 4 years and a little more than $60 million. For the team that extended the offer sheet, his cap hit would have been his average salary, so a little north of $15 million. For the Lakers, if they had matched it, it would have been his actual salary. So he would have been about 5.6, 5.8 for the next 2 years, and then a max in 2018, 2019. So it actually works out really well for the Lakers that they don't have this massive inflation that they avoided having Clarkson at $24 million in 2018, because, you know, he was a guy that I wanted the Sixers to go after with an offer sheet, if only just to screw up the Lakers' cap situation in 2018, because Randall is a restricted free agent that year. Yep. Russell and Larry Nance would be up for extensions that year. You know, if it seems like they're striking out on most big free agents this year, but if they get one next year, that could put them in a very precarious cap situation if Clarkson goes from $5 million or $6 million to $24 million. So, long story short, I am totally with you. Clarkson, probably the, if not the best signing so far, definitely in the top two.
So, I'm curious here. You're actually telling me that if he had accepted the qualifying offer, he would have continued restricted free agency status by next year?
I'm pretty sure that's true because the same thing happened with Dele this past year. He was a restricted free agent, took the qualifying offer, and then he is a restricted free agent this year as well.
Then I stand corrected. I've been making that point today on Twitter, and no one seems to have corrected me. Damn you, Brian, for not catching me earlier.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure it is just like with the Dele situation. So
Where's the Mark Deeks Batman signal?
I know, right? Yeah. But either way, we are both big fans of the Clarkson signing.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Lin's my guy. I mean, 3 years,
Oh, yeah.
36 million for, he played really well last year in a reserve role in Charlotte, but he's definitely going to be Brooklyn's starting point guard. They waived Jarrett Jack on Thursday, and they literally don't have another point guard on the roster at the moment. So in this ridiculous inflated market to get a starting point guard, any caliber of starting point guard for $12 million a year is great. And then, Lin, he's not, he turns 28 soon, but 3 years will be 30 going into his age 30 season in the final year of that deal. Like, he's not going to have a huge age-related decline. And hell, we saw the magic that happens with Jeremy Lin in New York. I'm excited. I'm excited to see Lin Sanity come back.
So I noticed something when that signing was announced. Writers loved it, fans hated it. A lot of fans did, and I am just
Really?
I yeah, but I think a lot of fans aren't really aware of the new cap. I don't
Yeah,
think they
yeah.
fully grasp the new cap. That's not being mean, that's just selling it like it is.
Right.
And I think when they saw that Lin was getting 12 million a year, they were like, oh, but he's not some kind of near all-star type, because just 5 or 6 years ago, that number was mostly associated with people who were near that sort of standard, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, with this deal, I mean, under a cap of 94 million, it's excellent. It's bloody excellent. And he's going to get full-time minutes in Brooklyn. He's going to start. There's no Jarrett Jack. And he apparently was kind of bitter, the dear Mr. Jack.
Yes,
Yeah, he
yes.
was pretty bitter.
He tweeted, ha 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 ha, in all caps once he found out. So yeah, he's not a
Yeah.
fan. I mean, it seems like a lot of even, you say fans don't realize how ridiculous this was gonna be. Like, a lot of NBA players have been tweeting like the little eyes emojis, or like it seems like they didn't even fully grasp like the ridiculous amount of money that was about to come flowing this year because of the salary cap spike. So I
Well,
think
okay, let's be fair. When Timofey Mozgov is paid 64 million,
yes.
then I can sort of see it. Like, he shouldn't have
Right.
gotten anything near that. Like, Alex Kennedy put up a tweet saying he had so many agents and players and coaches texting him saying, insert this kind of the, or insert name, God, how much? And
Yeah.
I swear it's all about Timofey Mozgov. It has to be. He's the only guy right now I'm looking at as being significantly overpaid.
Yep. I think I mean we could talk about him for hours, I feel like, but yeah, I mean it seemed like this is a situation where the Lakers were they might not have been bidding against themselves. Like, I'm sure Mozzie would have attracted interest from other suitors,
Yeah.
especially, once Dallas missed out on Hassan Whiteside, they need a center. Trying to think who else. Like, if the Knicks didn't go after Joakim Noah, they would have needed a center. If the Pelican, or sorry, if the Bucks move on from Greg Monroe, they might
Yeah.
need one. Portland needs a center. I mean, there are teams that need centers, so I'm sure the market is. The Lakers were not like totally just bidding against themselves in that regard, but like making that signing 30 minutes into free agency, that's what bothers me. Like, Mozzie is a guy where you let him take a couple meetings and then, wait to see what happens. Like, wait until July 4th, wait
Oh
until
yeah.
July 5th. And if he says no, like, did they even call Bismack Biyombo's agent before they offered this deal? Like, did you see, hey, Bismack, you're 6 years younger and not coming off of knee surgery. Would you play for 16 million? hey, Ion Mahinmi, would you play for $14 million instead of $16 million for Mozzie? Like, it's a huge overpay. But also, just like in terms of basketball, I don't know that he's a great fit with the Lakers and what they're wanting to do.
It seems like they're stuck on the whole traditional back to the basket player mentality, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
By the way, now that you mentioned Bismack and Ion Mahinmi, have those two even come up lately? I haven't even seen any buzz about them.
I saw Bismack is hopeful to re-sign with the Raptors, but then
well, that's good.
Zach Lowe also mentioned the Raptors were sniffing around Nerlens Noel as a possible Bismack that's replacement. True. Have not seen anything about Mahinmi yet, but I'm sure that's going to pick up soon. I mean, the Mozgov thing, you know, people, once that happened last night, Ken Berger of CBS Sports sent out a tweet basically saying, like, hey, you know, the cap went up 35%, Mozgov salary, like, you know, factor that in. It's just simple math. Like, salaries are also going to go up 35%, but I don't know. Like, I don't know that he was worth 4 years, $48 million under the old cap, especially after the year he's just coming off of. Like,
I think you know, Brian. I just don't think you want to say it.
Right. I mean, so there was a report. I think someone from ESPN Cleveland had the story, but Brian Windhorst was on the radio in April, and he basically said, you know, Mozgov had knee surgery last summer, and he came back basically too early. Like, the surgery didn't go right, but he came back early because he saw the massive payday that was coming his way and didn't want to miss half the season. So he played, I think, 72, 73 games, started nearly 50, but he was pretty awful and then, like, got knocked out of the rotation more or less. Only played 76 minutes in total during the playoffs. So, I mean, I guess if you're the Lakers, you're saying, you know, when he came to Cleveland in 2014, 2015, he was actually really pretty good in, you know, about a 25-minute per game role. So maybe he could be an improvement over what Roy Hibbert provided this past year. But he's already 30, or he's turning 30 shortly, I believe. So it's giving that much money to a 30-year-old with a history of knee problems, and that's coming off a miserable year. That's just a lot of things need to go right for that not to be a mistake. Especially, you know, if you want to overpay him, that's fine. Do a 2-year deal. Like, I have more of a problem with the number of years than the amount. And I feel like that's going to be a common theme throughout. The same thing's true with Joakim Noah to the Knicks, honestly.
Yeah. Also, full disclosure, because you're a Philly fan, I did like a Danish mega podcast the other day, and that was one of the talking points we had, was like, signing for 1 year, it doesn't really matter what the pay is. Mm-hmm. If you, maybe even 2 years, because we were spitballing ideas, my co-host Robin and I, and we figured that if like, let's say Philly did not find a point guard. Now, obviously they found Jared Bayless, but
yeah.
We were actually toying with the idea of saying, well, Rajon Rondo on a 1 year deal in Philly, just give him like $23 million, just overpay him,
right,
and like, let him know you're only sticking around for 1 year and your job description is defend and make sure the bigs get the ball.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Then I think Philly would kind of like, okay, we could like settle for that and then for a point guard next year. Right.
Right. Right.
But if you signed him for 4 years, then you would be fucking up, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, that especially for the Sixers, you know, the 2017 draft class looks to be A, loaded, but B, especially loaded with point guards. The Sixers will have their own pick / a Sacramento pick swap if the Kings finish lower than them or win the lottery or whatever. And they'll also have a top three protected Lakers pick. So in all likelihood, they're going to have two top 10 picks next year.
Probably Markelle Fultz, baby.
Yeah, like, probably going to plunge one into a point guard as the long-term option. So it definitely seemed like they are going after a stopgap this year. And honestly, in that regard, I'm pretty happy with Bayless. I'd rather do 3 years, 27 for Bayless than 1 year, 20 for Rondo, especially because Rondo can't shoot and would be a miserable fit next to Ben Simmons.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm looking over at Jared Bayless's stats and you, we're on webcam here. I saw your reaction when you saw the Bayless news. You're like, right. What should I feel?
Yeah.
That was really, look, the dude shot 44% last year on threes and on high volume coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you guys need. You need a shooter, one who can break zones and just, like, get popping from the outside to create space, right?
Right.
Well, yeah. You got that right there. And he's going to be 28 when the season starts. And look, Jared, when he came in 2008, there was a little swagger to his game, a little bounce in his step.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always liked him. I felt he was kind of limited a little bit in Milwaukee due to the sets.
Right.
I think if he gets free reins in Philly, he could really turn heads.
Yeah, we've been on for, what, 15 minutes? It's been 15 minutes since I found out this news, and I'm already talking myself into this one, which is all you need to know about how I'm approaching free agency. If it is not an egregious, massive overpay for a player that I hate, I will probably talk myself into it. I immediately went to Basketball Reference to pull up his stats because I did not remember him shooting that well this past year. But yeah, he shot 43.7% from three. The thing I'm most encouraged by, you know, this whole time I've been saying they need a low usage, ideally 3-and-D point guard, but honestly, the shooting is probably more important than the defense. Mm-hmm. Usage rate last year for Bayless, 16.4%.
Yeah.
So that has me encouraged because the Sixers have said that they are going to use Simmons. They're going to play him at the four, but they're going to use him as a ball handler, playmaker. They didn't draft Ben Simmons to be a spot up threat. Like, they're going to take advantage of his gifts as a Draymond Green, LeBron, Magic, that kind of a playmaker. So yeah, in that regard, you know, Bayless is, I'm not too mad. And if it means not trading Nerlens for like Patrick Beverley, or, you know, I really like Matthew Dellavedova, and I actually thought he'd be a good fit in Philly as well, especially given the Australian ties between him and Simmons and him and Brett Brown. But if the difference is like $9 million a year for Bayless versus 12 plus for Delly, you know, yeah. I could make peace with this. I'm in on the Bayless signing. Throw it up there in the best signings for me now.
I mean, I'm just saying a lot of people on Twitter right now are saying this is the best deal.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the best deal, but I think it's a bloody good one.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Jeremy Lin is the best one. But
that is really good, and Clarkson too. Those are really off the hook good.
Yeah. And but, you know, I don't think this Bayless one, it's not going to go in the list with Mozgov. We'll say that much. Mm.
Joakim Noah, Brian. We need to touch on Joakim.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about 4 years, 2 years.
Right.
New York just went all out, man. They got Rose, and then they want to put the Rose-Noah band back together. And I'm thinking, like, this is just me thinking out loud.
Mm-hmm.
I think they purposely went 4 years with Joakim so they could re-sign Derek next year.
Oh, it seems like it, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, I do think that Derek played a lot better towards the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen nothing to suggest that he can duplicate that. I mean, this time he hasn't been injured at the end of the season. He's had a full summer to really, you know, play basketball.
Yeah, that's
practice,
true.
Practice, get his body right. If he comes back next year, I mean, I'm not going to put a cap on how many games he could play. You know,
right.
He could play 70 and that'd be fine. He could play maybe 65. That'd be fine too. I mean, as long as his body feels good and he can attack the lane, sure. Then he has value, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem with me is the shots, like with him and Melo, with that mesh and whatnot. Right. But this is where Joakim, if we avoid any contract talks, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a horrid contract.
Right.
But this is where Joakim makes sense.
Yeah.
He doesn't require shots.
Right.
He is here to play center, not power forward. With the Bulls, he was pushed down in position when Gasol came in, and he was chasing around all these stretch forward guys, which
right.
was just asking too much. And he did that on a recently surgically repaired knee.
Yep.
which is never a good idea.
Right.
That was just like the least optimal surroundings ever. And now he's got this unique opportunity of replacing Taj Gibson with Kristaps Porzingis in this pick and roll thing that he and Rose does, where he says the pick, he receives the ball, and he throws a lob.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, like, you know, they just collapse around Joakim when he gets the ball in the middle of the floor because they rotate.
Yeah.
Now, that used to be a lob play for 6'9 Taj Gibson. Now that's going to be a lob play for 7'3 Porzingis.
Right, right.
I mean, I could see that working out pretty well. And he's still got his passing chops. In fact, he last year, even though he only played 29 games, he had like his second... I wrote an article about it. The second best assist rate of his career and the best rebound rate of his career.
Yeah.
So, you know, he can still board and he can still pass. I mean, it's not like he's without value. I think people have taken this to pretty far extents. Having said that, $70 million for Joakim is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be hard with a lot of these guys to separate the value of that the player will provide on the court and the value of their contract. Like, pretty much everyone, save for a few guys, is going to look overpaid just by virtue of annual salary. You have to put these contracts, you know, in proportion with the cap. So
yeah,
you gotta consider them as a percentage of the cap versus the annual salary. Like John Wall making 5 years $80 million and then Bradley Beal making 5 years $130 million. That's ridiculous, but it's just, you know, that this is what was going to happen. This was inevitable. But I think you're right in that Noah, he's a good fit in New York. Like he's very low usage. He's not gonna require shots, so that's a good thing for Porzingis' development. Like, make him shoulder the load offensively. Going to prevent Zinger from getting too beat up. Like, you know, yeah. Ideally, you want Porzingis as your stretch five, like, years down the line. But I just don't think he's big enough. And, like, he just doesn't have the muscle on his frame yet to handle that role full time.
Agreed.
So you can put Noah there as their starter, and then have Zinger do that for 10, 15 minutes a game when Noah's on the bench. But you don't have to, you know, you don't have to put Porzingis in that position all the time where he's going to get beat up and worn down by January. And yeah, I mean, he's a great passer. Like, when Rose went down, the Bulls basically had Noah as their point forward. Or point center, I should say.
Point center, yeah.
Yeah, so
I think what the Knicks took note of was actually a game that he played against them back in 2014, where he picked up 14 assists.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, 12 rebounds and 13 points. I still remember that game vividly because, like, he wasn't a scoring threat all game, but, like, New York just changed their entire attitude when he got the ball on the high post.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo was, like, overplaying passing lanes because he was so scared of where that ball was going.
Yeah.
Everyone just overplayed because... Where the hell is that pass going, man? And he just chopped them up, like, passing-wise.
Right.
It was amazing. And I think the Knicks just continuously looked at that game and went, well, he might have a bad knee, he might have a bad shoulder, but he still has the same IQ. He still has the same court vision. I mean, if his body feels just a little better, there's no reason whatsoever as to why he could not make these passes again.
Right. Yeah, the question with him is just, can he stay healthy? And it's the same thing with Derrick Rose. So let's hope the Knicks, after investing, you know, $72 million in Noah and then bringing Rose's $20-plus million contract over, let's hope they invest in their medical staff.
By the way, I found the logic in why New York offered $18
million. Why is that?
Because that was the exact same percentage of the cap from last year. I actually looked at it because I thought that was interesting. He earned $13.4 million during the $70 million cap. That was 19.14% of the cap.
Okay.
$18 million of a $94 million cap, 19.14%.
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go. See, and that's what we were saying. You have to keep it in perspective with percentages, not with per year amounts.
So they just extended that.
Yeah.
But that's still, like, kind of a problem because he's not worth – same percentage. But yeah, that at least that's the logic behind it, I think.
Yeah, and again, it's more the years than the salary. Like if you sign him to 2 years, $36 million, there's a lot less freak out on basketball Twitter about that.
We have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Who? Andre Iguodala just posted the most cryptic tweet ever saying, Nabi, and people are losing their shit right now, Brian.
What does that mean?
We have no idea. Everyone is just going batshit crazy, and I love it. This is free agency at its best.
It really is. Yeah, we just need a hostage situation soon, and then...
Huh. Yeah, Whiteside, he was like interested in coming to Dallas. He should have told Mark Cuban yes.
Right.
And then just turned around like a day later. That would have been perfect.
Oh, man. I think Mark Cuban, next center that he actually gets to agree to a contract, he's just going to like fly that guy to Bermuda for the next 6 days. Say, like, take my private jet. Just get the hell out of the country. Tell no one where you're going. Come back July 7th, 12:01 a.m. Put your name on the deal. That's it. So, wow. Yeah, so we should talk about Kevin Durant. He is taking meetings with six teams. He met with OKC on Thursday. Apparently had close to a three-hour meeting with the Warriors.
That went today. Well.
Yes, quote-unquote, that went well. So, you know, that J.A. Adande had a thing last night where he was just tweeting all of these reports about meetings that went well. And then it was like, LeBron to Miami in 2014, like all of the ones that, you know, went well, and then the player did not actually sign there. So take the went well report for what it's worth, which is nothing. But yeah, so he's meeting with the Warriors today. I forget who else is today, but he's got Miami, Boston, San Antonio, and who am I forgetting? Clippers.
Clippers.
Still on the list. Oh, I think the Clippers are today as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so we're it sounds like I think Miami is on Sunday, and then OKC, they were trying to get a final meeting with him. I think they did after that. So it sounds like KD's decision should be coming hopefully pretty shortly thereafter, July 4th, 5th, somewhere around there. So we'll keep an eye out for that. I'm guessing we're not going to figure out what this Iguodala tweet means until then. Who else do we need to talk about? I mean, a lot of the guys are not huge surprises. So Bradley Beal signed a 5-year, $128 million max with Washington. Any opinion on that? You think it's basically what they had to do?
They had to. Like, what's the alternative, right?
Right.
Even though Beal came out himself and said, I might not be able to play extended minutes throughout the rest of my career.
Right.
Which is a huge red flag, by the way.
Yeah.
Then I think they are so low on overall talent that they had to make a choice. And here's the thing about Washington. They don't want to rebuild right now. And that's why they did it.
Right.
Personally, I would have gone the rebuilding route. I actually would have tried to trade him before the summer. I mean, like before the deadline in February, because I knew that I was trying to blow it up. And then I would entertain trade offers for John Wall because, I mean, I love John Wall. I absolutely do. But he's in a similar position as Jimmy Butler and the whole Chicago thing, right? Like where he's a little bit too old to go through a 5-year rebuilding process.
Right. And
But that's me. Like that's what I would do. I think they enjoy being a little bit competitive or trying to be competitive.
Yep.
So in that sense, it makes... Yeah, there's logic to it, right? I mean, now they can combine him and Wall, and then whatever, how many games Beal gives them, they're going to have to settle with.
Yeah, yeah.
But down the line, at the end of that deal, it could be pretty bad. If he's injured or is limited to like 50 games a year or whatever, can't play more than 27 minutes, I'm cautiously concerned.
Yeah, that deal has albatross potential if he cannot stay healthy, but... If he can get over these stress reaction issues, I mean, he's got, like, he has the upside of being at least a top 5 shooting guard. Like, he could develop into a superstar still. So, you know, I think I'm with you.
Think so?
Oh, yeah. He's really good. Like,
he is, but superstar is a big word, though.
Yeah. I mean, I have a looser definition of superstar than most people, I think.
That's fair.
I would say I mean,
Ish Smith is a superstar.
Oh God, Ish Smith is going to Detroit, and good luck. Actually, he's going to Detroit 3 years, $18 million, and that's actually a pretty good value signing for them.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so you know they desperately needed a backup point guard, so that's Ish. Like has he proved to the Sixers this past year? The rose comes off pretty quickly when he's the starting point guard, but 15-20 minutes a game, that's a reasonable deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have? DeMar DeRozan is staying in Toronto. I have the final terms come out yet? I saw 5-year, $145 million.
I heard 5-year, $139 million.
Yeah, that was Shams had that last night. I forget who did 145 today. I think maybe Sam Amick or someone like that. It sounds like okay. The deals are that. Terms are still getting hammered out, but it is not a full max, but basically like the Carmelo Anthony max, like a $5 million less than what he could have gotten.
Is this the richest deal in NBA history so far?
Oh God.
Like I know if Anthony Davis extension had like caught in with the Rose rule, that would have been the biggest contract ever,
right,
until further notice. It's only a day away from LeBron re-signing, and then that record is broken. But $139 million, I remember Kobe back in the day got 136.4. But I don't remember anyone getting more than that.
I know, I mean, Damian Lillard also qualified for the Rose rule, but he only took 27.5% of the
cap
instead of 30, so I think he's around $136 million as well, instead of 145. So, yeah, that's a good point. I think it actually might be the richest deal in NBA history.
There you go. DeMar DeRozan, until further notice, signed the richest deal in NBA freaking history.
That's really, that is the perfect summary of this free agency so far.
Well, you know, what could it?
Yeah, no, right. The same thing with Beal. Like, you have to do it, but...
Yeah.
Damn, that's a lot of money.
It is.
I think all of these deals are basically the precursor to owners. They're going to get an amnesty in the next CBA just to get rid of some of the contracts they hand out this year. And I think some of these deals they are handing out with that in mind. Like they know they're atrocious right now, and maybe that's even thinking with Mozgov and Noah. Like, well, screw it. We'll give you 4 years because we know we're not actually going to pay, or like, we're going to have to pay you 4 years, but you're not going to be on our cap for all 4 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Still, like, I'm looking forward to the months of debate when there's a lockout in place and people are upset about not getting paid enough. And we're sitting here, podcasters and writers, and we're just like, yeah. I make $20 a pop. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with you. Who else do we have? So Hassan Whiteside staying in Miami, 4-year, $98 million max deal.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe. Right. So he has a contingency if KD comes that he will take less money. Is that true for Dwayne Wade too, or is it only for KD?
I don't think so. I think Wade, and rightfully so, is gonna show me the money right now.
Yeah.
Because he's been so kind to Miami for so many years.
Who else? So we touched on Whiteside. Andre Drummond nearing a max deal with Detroit. I mean, that was a no-brainer. That was always going to happen.
Yeah.
DJ Augustine, 4 years, $29 million to Orlando. I think Nate Duncan of the Cauldron summed it up best in saying that they salary dumped Tobias Harris and they are filling most of that space with DJ Augustine and Jody Meeks.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. I mean, we've...
Very Orlando.
We've been very harsh on that Tobias Harris deal on this podcast for months now, and that is why. But, you know,
no, I like DJ though, but
right.
I mean, they just went a completely different direction than I thought.
Yeah,
it seemed like Orlando was doing a Denver right now,
right?
And then suddenly they just went off the side of the road and never returned.
Yeah, I mean the Ibaka deal. You know, I see where they're going with it. Like, they think he is their first superstar, maybe. But, again, like we touched on this in the draft recap, like Aaron Gordon's best position is the four. Aaron Gordon is your best player. You now have a redundancy with your best, you know, your best asset before the draft and now your best player afterward as well. So,
well, I'm sticking to my prediction that Nikola Vucevic, I just forgot his name there, is going to be moved and Ibaka's going to play full-time five.
Yeah, that's true. That could be a sneaky
I just
good.
Don't see them sacrificing the third year of Aaron Gordon like this. Yeah. If they do, then I'm taking my gloves off.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That's hopefully if they do, they'll just trade him away and let someone else actually reap the rewards of him being good. So we got that, and then so the other big one that came across today was Al Jefferson to Indiana, 3 years, $30 million.
Oh, I like that if I'm a basketball opponent, because then I'm going to put him and Monta Ellis into a pick and roll, and I'm going to get to the rim again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah, see, so you are not in on Jefferson. Do you like the value?
I like
of
the
it?
Value.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the value.
But you just don't like him on Indiana?
I don't like pairing Al Jefferson with Monta Ellis, yeah. Specifically.
Okay.
I think that's the problem, because Ellis has horrid basketball IQ. Big Al has slow feet, and nowadays when it's all about spacing and stretching and athleticism and agility, then I think that teams will look to put those two in pick and rolls. Like we saw in the finals how you could at times utilize, if you're a Golden State, you could throw Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving into pick and rolls and you would get to the rim.
Yeah.
This is sort of like that, just a lot worse.
So here's my thinking. Do you think he is the starter there, or do you think he's coming off the bench?
Oh, hell no. He's on the bench. You can't sit like either Miles Tyler or Thaddeus Young.
Right. So that's where I'm actually a fan of the signing, assuming he is coming off the bench as like a poor man's Enes Kanter, because I don't think they're going to play him with Monta Ellis all that much.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's basically just going to be their, like, you know, their first unit. They're going to have Thaddeus Young at the four and Miles Turner at the five, and they're going to play the small, the fast-paced small ball that Larry Bird has been pushing for 2 or 3 years now. And then, you know, you bring in Al Jefferson, and it's like a really good change of pace. Like, if you slow it down, dump it down to him in the post, and he's just going to abuse. Just, I mean, he's been a 2010 guy for years. Like, he's going to dominate.
The second unit.
Yeah. So I especially, you know, I understand the reluctance of 3 years. And I don't know if the final year is fully guaranteed or partially guaranteed.
I thought it was an option.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I'm not sure. There's been a couple of 3 year deals, and one of them is an option. I'm not sure if that's the one, but
yeah, it seemed like the final terms are still being hashed out. And just a reminder that all of these deals that we've discussed today, nothing is official until July 7th, until the July moratorium is over. We learned that the hard way last year with DeAndre Jordan, you know.
I'm so glad I was up that night.
It was, yeah, I really hope we get something to match the insanity of DeAndre Jordan. I feel like something big is coming. Actually, you know what's coming? The Kings are pursuing Dion Waiters.
Yep.
I think that's gonna be the first one. Like, Mozgov was the appetizer to the what the hell are you doing? I think the Kings are gonna give Dion like $18 million a year. And that is just going, like, Twitter's done. It is over. Everyone is going, it's just going to turn to a stream of crying Jordans. Like, every single Sacramento legend, Vlade, Boogie, and then just, like, straight down the list. Just my whole timeline is going to be Kings-related crying Jordans.
Yeah, yeah. So, could you just imagine this? Because it's going to happen, right? So, let's give Dion a big California welcome. 1, 2, 3, go Dion!
Oh man.
And Kings fans are going to play that on repeat as they shoot themselves in the head.
Right. I will say, as a Sixers fan who has a pick swap with the Kings in 2017 and an unprotected Kings pick in 2019, I am rooting very hard for them to sign Dion Waiters. Because there is no way. I just don't see a scenario in which that ends well. I feel like, I mean, Boogie might murder him. Or if not, he's going
like literally murder him.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Or if not, he's going to do what my dog has been doing recently and just sit down. Like while you're on the court, he's just going to sit down and just not play. Like, just nope. Silent protest. I'm going, you want to play 4-on-5? I will just stay at the other end, but I am not going to play either way.
Yeah.
I
think he's gone.
Yeah, Boogie. Yeah. Yeah. They have to. They just, my thinking with the trade market, especially, it's going to relate to your Bulls as well. All of this money is going to go out. And all of a sudden, all of the guys signed contracts already. Like, Jimmy Butler's value has skyrocketed in the last 14 or 15 hours.
Yeah.
Like, who would you rather pay $19 million or, like, you know, the high teens annually? Timofey Mozgov or Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
So, I feel like once big-name free agents clear out, and the choice is like pay $15 million a year to Brandon Jennings or pay $19 million to Jimmy Butler. It's like, oh, okay, we'll just trade for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So
just trade for Jimmy Butler. Yeah. I like the phrasing of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think Boston will be like, all right, we've been unreasonable. We will cave a little bit more and give
Boston can't do anything right now. They painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
They did not say Chris Dunn, who was like hugely popular in Chicago.
Right.
And the Bulls are sitting back like, right now, what can you offer? It has to be the 2017 pick swap and the 2018 pick from Brooklyn, like at a bare minimum.
Yeah.
And if Brooklyn keeps on signing like under the radar good dudes,
right,
they're going to ask for even more.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. Boston messed up big time.
Yeah.
During the draft. And I've had so many Boston fans in my mentions and on my timeline going at me like, this was not a good offer. We can stick around and there's no rush. Yeah, hell, there is.
Right.
Of course there is. And right now you just wasted so many assets by not moving them, honestly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep, yep.
I mean, this is an F minus summer for Ainge so far.
Yeah, and it sounds like so they have a meeting with Dwight Howard today, I believe, as do the Hawks. But from what the latest reports have said, I think Wojnarowski reported this as well. The Blazers offered Chandler Parsons a 4-year max last night, and they're hoping to get both Parsons and Dwight Howard. As like a, you know, they both play together in Houston, so bring them both to Portland as well.
Please tell me what the hell is the fascination of Chandler Parsons on a max deal? Come on now.
I mean, you said it earlier. Harrison Barnes is going to meet a max player.
Well, it doesn't mean I agree with it.
Right, but this is just the market. Like, I don't.
He's not a good defender.
Right.
He's got a shaky shot selection.
Uh huh.
When his athleticism goes, which it could real soon because of all the injuries,
yeah,
he is going to decline so rapidly we wouldn't even be able to comprehend it. Yeah. I am not getting this Chandler Parsons fascination at all. Like, okay, if you want to give him a 4-year, $18 million a year, fine. Uh-huh. So be it. Like, give him a Joakim Noah deal.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right.
And not that Noah's deal makes sense, but you know what I mean. Like, that value, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. Or if you want to pay him in the 20s, then give him a 2-year, $50 million deal for all I care. 4 years full max for Chandler Parsons? You got to be freaking kidding me.
Well, I think it's just the market dynamics, whereas the Lakers kind of bid against themselves for Mozgov. I doubt anyone going to knock down his door with a $60-plus million offer last night. Chandler Parsons is getting a max from multiple places.
Yeah, of course he is. So. And that's where the entire league is basically screwing themselves.
Right. Yeah. And this all seems like a precursor to not necessarily a lockout, but owners are going to go back and say, like, look, the salary cap was way too high this year. Like, look at what we had to do just to meet the salary floor.
Yeah.
Like, these players did not deserve the money that we had to hand out. So I feel like the players who are getting contracts locked in this summer are smart. Like, I wrote about this at B-Ball Breakdown recently, how the CBA coming up, there is real incentive to get your money now because there's no guarantee that this structure is going to be in place next year. Like, the projections have said that the cap is going to go up to $107 million next year, but projections don't mean a damn thing because they're going to tear up the CBA. So, like, who's to say what, like, what the contract structure is going to be next year? All it takes, you know, this situation in particular is probably going to lead to the introduction of a supermax, in my opinion, or like raising the percentage of the cap that a max player can get. So you're not in a position where you can only offer $26 million to Kevin Durant or $27 million to LeBron. Like, you can offer 50% of your cap to one of those players because that is their value. But if that happens, all of these second tier, third tier, mid tier guys, they suddenly get a huge rollback in salary. So based on the way the cap is now, it makes sense to offer Chandler Parsons a max because there's no harm, no foul, really. Like, you can have two, three, four type of max players if you get creative. And then, you know, that's what the Clippers are trying to do with Kevin Durant, have like four max caliber players on the roster at one time. But after next year, I don't think it's going to be possible.
I have a pitch for you in terms of writing an article for People Breakdown. You should predict what players who signed deals this summer is going to be...
Amnesty,
thank you. Yeah. There's so many terms lately. I'm qualifying offer sheet. I've only had 4 hours of sleep, Bryce, so you'll have to excuse me. Yeah.
I'm going
to
say all of them, basically.
No, but I mean, Timofey Mozgov, like, for sure, right?
Oh, my God.
Possibly Chandler Parsons. Yeah. If he loses his athleticism.
Yep. I think there are going to be multiple amnesties from this class. The Pelicans are the only ones that will not use it on this class because they will finally rid themselves of Omer Asik's contract. But
that's true.
Yeah. There are going to be. I mean, we're only 14, 15 hours into this thing. Like, this is the tip of the iceberg. And as teams get more desperate and as more of the big name guys decide, like the teams that miss out on Kevin Durant, if Boston misses out on Durant and like Al Horford,
Dwight.
Yeah. But what if they miss out on Dwight? Like, what if he goes to Portland?
Then I'm just going to laugh for them turning down Jimmy Butler's traits.
Right. I mean, like, you know, Biombo is probably getting 17, 18 million a year. I'd be shocked if Mahinmi gets anything less than 14 or 15. Like, I'm living in constant fear that I'm going to, like, leave my computer for 5 minutes, come back, and Aaron Aflalo sign a 3-year, $50 million deal with the Sixers.
Oh, that could so happen. I know. Basketball player, right?
I know. Yeah. And, like, the Knicks are reportedly sniffing around Eric Gordon right now.
That team is going to be so good in 2010.
Yeah, right? If you could just turn all of their knees into robot knees, then they are going to be excellent. But yeah, there are going to be a lot of amnesties.
If I'm Jan Mahimi, right, whoever I negotiate with, I'm pointing at Mozgov and I'm saying, I'm so much better than that dude.
Oh, for sure. Zero question.
If he got $64 million, I'm worth $75 minimum.
Yeah. Zero question. Yeah. And that's the thing, that these deals, handing out those types of deals, you're setting the market, but that's not a good thing. Like,
so the Lakers just screw with the league.
Yeah, basically. And then,
God damn it, Lakers.
This is where we go back to Jordan Clarkson. Like, if you're Jordan Clarkson's agent and you see that the Lakers just gave 4 years and $65 million to Timofey Mozgov, how are you taking $50 million? How are you taking anything less than the max offer sheet? That is insanity. Just pure insanity.
I would agree. And now Vosh is saying that Atlanta and Dwight. Yeah, did he just delete his tweet?
Was that a fake one?
I don't know. It didn't seem like it.
Really?
It actually went into my feed. It seems like he might have worded it badly and then deleted it. But it seems like, he just reposted it. They made a strong connection with Dwight Howard in a meeting today, the Hawks.
Interesting. So,
and we should mention, like, on the Hawks right now, they obviously want Al Horford back as well. They're negotiating him. But one part that you and I have not touched on yet was Kevin Durant wanted Horford in OKC.
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of play here.
Yeah.
If he returns to OKC, he wants Horford in tow, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, that would be so unfair. But then they would have to move Enes Kanter, it sounds like, so they're going to have to probably attach an asset. You would assume
no problem.
Cameron Payne maybe, or some like a future draft pick, but I can't imagine a future draft pick from them is going to get it done. Or maybe like a 2019 pick, and you're banking on KD and Westbrook leaving.
If you replace Enes Kanter with Al Horford,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but that's like, that's Golden State Warriors-esque level.
I mean, the starting five could very easily be Westbrook, Oladipo, Durant, Horford, Steven Adams. That's the best starting five in the league, including Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's ridiculously good, and so well structured, because here's the thing. Steven Adams doesn't need shots.
Right.
Al Horford is not, like, trigger-happy at all, but he can shoot if he gets the ball.
Yeah, and he showed off...
passive.
He showed off three-point range, like, consistently for the first time this past year.
But he's not the type of guy who comes in and says, I want 15 shots,
you know? No, I think he
can settle for, like, 6 and 8 for any game. He's, like, a winner. He's in the Joakim Noah mold again. Both come from Florida as well. He's got that mentality, and there's Billy Donovan on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. He's going to sacrifice whatever he's got for the greater good of the team.
Yeah.
Which allows Westbrook and Durant to get shot happy again.
Yep.
I don't know. That duo, even though it's immensely great and was so close to reaching the finals, man, there are times when I think they need some sort of glue.
Yeah.
And Horford could be that guy.
Well, I'm wondering, too... And I just said that Depot's in that starting lineup, but like he seems like he would be a much better fit off of the bench for them. And you can still have Roberson, however you say it. You could still have him in the starting lineup as your main wing defender. The problem is Depot really struggled in Orlando when he came off the bench this past year.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was like, that just might have been him being unhappy, you know, I was your number two pick, I'm supposed to be the face of the franchise, that kind of thing. And OKC doesn't have to worry about that. So maybe it's like he's less concerned about not getting a huge contract the next time. Maybe he just says, all right, I sacrificed for the good of the team and I'm still going to get, you know, a dump truck full of money next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if OKC does get Horford and Durant, the rest of the league needs to watch out. But yeah, I mean, the Hawks are really one to keep an eye on. I don't think it's live yet, but we did this project at Hardwood Paroxysm where we all took a team and made free agent pitches. The Harrison Barnes and Hassan Whiteside ones were up yesterday, but I think the rest of them are going up next week. But I actually was Atlanta for Dwight, and there is some real basketball reason to go there. Like, I don't remember the exact specifics, but I want to say Dennis Schroeder was 12th in the league in terms of the number of possessions he used as a pick-and-roll ball handler, even though he was coming off the bench behind Jeff Teague. Yeah. And Dwight used 91 possessions as a roll man last season, which is an egregious fundamental misuse of his best talent. So, you know, the Hawks just basically run a lot more pick and roll than Houston does because they don't have James Harden soaking up the ball and just dribbling. So in that regard, Dwight would be great. And then since Budenholzer took over, I think they were 26th, 27th, and 28th, somewhere around there, the last 3 years in terms of total rebound percentage, I want to say. So basically, they've just been getting killed on the boards because that's not Horford's strong suit. But Dwight, even though...
Oh, he gobbles them up.
Yeah, like he was a very low usage offensive player last year in Houston, but he still averaged like 11 plus rebounds a game. So I actually really like Dwight in Atlanta, but I can also...
That's because he's got Paul Millsap. This is the player Houston needed all those years.
Yeah, right, exactly. He would be a really, really good fit next to Millsap, but I also understand. I mean, there is definitely an argument if Horford leaves, if Bazemore leaves, maybe Atlanta just takes a sledgehammer to the team.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking, especially after they traded Jeff Teague.
Right.
I mean, that's starting over a little bit, right?
Yeah. You would think so, but you know, a lot of teams are not willing to embrace a full rebuild, especially coming off of, you know, 2 years ago they were a 60-win team. This past year they still made the playoffs. You know, like, it's hard to sell that to your fan base. To sell a total, you need to go through what, you know, like the Sixers before they hired Hinkie and like totally self-destructed. They 2011, 2012, they were the eighth seed. They beat the Bulls because Derrick Rose tore his ACL. Traded for Andrew Bynum, which was like their home run play to, you know, go and become a 45-50 win perennial team. The Bynum thing completely blew up. They lost a bunch of their assets. And then it was like, okay,
we have to do something.
Now we're kind of screwed. But Atlanta, at least you still have Schroeder. You have the two first-round picks that they just got this past year. Millsap. Like, you have more talent there than the Sixers did at the time of their rebuild. So I just think, especially seeing what happened to Hinkie, it's going to be a tough sell to, you know, go from 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals to let's just tear the whole damn thing down. So I would not be surprised if and when they signed Dwight Howard.
Also, here is... let me just check if this, to see if this is like a fake account. It's not. ESPN sources say that Bucks have an agreement with Mirza Teletovic on a 3-year deal worth $30 million. That's from Mark Stein.
I love that.
That's actually pretty good.
I love that. That is... Wow. That's a really, really good signing for them. I wrote a thing for FanSided this week where about the 10 most underrated free agents, and him and John Lewis both barely missed the list.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a real... Yeah, I mean, that dude can just stroke it from deep. He's really... He's, you know, I think he's 30, 31, somewhere around there. So he's...
About Thon Maker's age.
Too soon.
No, really. It seemed like there was like a passport thing that came out that actually confirmed that Thon was only 19.
Yes. Yeah.
But there were like a lot of people digging up a lot of dirt.
Right.
At one point, it looked legitimately like he was significantly older.
I'm never going to believe the Reddit police. They have their... Their batting average is not very good right now. So, you know, I think it was a fun conspiracy theory for a day. But
so while we're on the Bucks,
yeah,
OJ Mayo just got thrown out of the damn league.
Yeah, the official wording was he was dismissed/disqualified from the NBA for a violation of the anti-drug policy. He cannot apply for reinstatement for at least 2 years.
Chris Anderson 2.0 in terms of situation, not player.
Right.
Happened to him in 2006, I want to say.
Yeah. So I did some digging into the anti-drug policy. The only way you can get suspended like that or dismissed like that right away is for a drug of abuse, is what it's called. So they define that as amphetamine, cocaine, LSD, opiates, or PCP. If it was a steroid or a PED, he would have had to get I think it was a 45 game suspension first and then a year long suspension before he gets kicked out of the league. So it's definitely a harder drug. So I think the only thing we can say to him is I hope he gets the help he needs. I mean, it's, you know, I forget who tweeted it, but someone said he cost himself like $30 to $40 million because he was a free agent this summer. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not ideal, but hopefully he gets the help he needs. And,
That's very unfortunate. Yeah. And he had some issues prior. He had a 10 game suspension earlier in his career it's just a horrid situation for him. Getting that message like OJ Mayo just got thrown out of the league, I was like, wow, that's not exactly what I anticipated waking up to.
No, me neither. That's
really heavy and yeah, very unfortunate. And he was a free agent, so
yeah,
himself, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's end on a slightly happier note. Morton, your Bulls have not made a free agent splash yet. They are talking about bringing back Etuan Moore, but
yeah,
I think he's been meeting with a couple other teams as well. Who do you want as a like dream scenario? Who would you like
potentially
to see?
Potentially no one.
Ooh, wow.
Simply because, yeah, Kelly Scaletta made a pretty, I think it was Kelly at least, made a pretty good point saying that if all the quote-unquote mediocre talent is gobbled up this summer, then you don't have to worry a whole lot about it next year.
It's a good point.
Because then you can save your money, maybe even have enough money for two max slots next year.
Yep.
My concern with that, though, is that if the Bulls are, once again, like this low 40s, late 30 win team, who the hell would want to sign there even if you're a max guy?
Yeah, I think so, you do the package deal, basically. You sell it as, you know, hey, Russell Westbrook, you want to come and pick your teammate? Be my guest.
Yeah, sort of like that. But even that is a long stretch. I mean, you know me. I'm not a fan of cap space. I think it's fool's gold a lot of times.
Yeah, as Orlando is proving this year.
Exactly. Also, I do get why there is like somewhat of a concern of sitting free agency out this year because you're kind of wasting a year of Jimmy Butler's prime.
Sure.
That's also a concern to me because he is damn good and he needs to have players around him. That's also why I kind of want Ken Bazemore there.
Yeah.
I think he's like he would be so good in Fred Hoiberg's system. He can shoot it. He's a terrific transition player. He can rebound. He can pass it. He's like an underrated all-around type of guy, right?
Yeah.
And I think he could do very well alongside Jimmy.
I agree with that.
But at the end of the day, the Bulls were, I think, 3 days before free agency, they more or less admitted they had no plan yet. They did not know what they were going to do. It's mind-boggling. I suspect the Bulls have some sort of plan in place, but I think there's a lot of internal disagreements about what that plan should be.
Yeah.
I think there are some guys who want to rebuild, and I think there are some guys who want not to. And I'm still on the rebuild wagon.
Right.
But given that Boston no longer has that superb offer to offer for Jimmy, I'm kind of left in a mode where I don't really know what I want with the Bulls.
Yeah.
Because I do like Jimmy. I do think that he can be a key component to rebuilding. And that's like, he's the sell next year if you go in for max players.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
That's the guy you need to sell players on. It's Jimmy Butler. Like, what else are you going to offer? Like, hey, come play with Jerry and Grant, right?
Hey, Cristiano Felicio, man.
Yo, Cristiano Felicio, come on down, man. No, hey, by the way, Felicio is gonna drop fools this year.
I know. I like him a lot. Yeah. I wrote about him. I did a piece of B-ball breakdown about undrafted rookies who played really well last year, and he made the list.
I have a feeling he's gonna be really good next year.
Yeah,
and if he is, that's a positive for the Bulls' chances of picking up a big time player. But again, I mean, 2017 money, it's gonna be wild. And I'm not sure that players are going to leave their teams.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get that fifth-year deal with 2017 money.
Right.
I mean, if the cap is declining after 2017, which there is a lot of buzz about, then you stay with your team, you take the full 5 years, and you laugh all the way to the bank.
Yep.
So there are so many concerns here. I don't even have like an answer for you. If I could go back in time, it'd be like, Boston pick.
Right.
But I do have a trade proposal to throw at you.
Okay.
Because I couldn't help myself. I thought I would try to fix the whole Chris Dunn Chicago Bulls problem. So I wrote a post for today's Fast Break.
Okay.
And it's a three-team deal. Boston, Chicago, and Minnesota. More or less, it was Jay Crowder going to Minnesota. Okay. Chris Dunn going to Chicago, Jimmy going to Boston, and then the 2017 pick going to Chicago as well.
Okay. So they get Dunn in the 2017 pick. Yeah, that's that. Those were all the pieces, or that was just like the main.
That's pretty much the main pieces.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. I can't think of any like proud. The Bulls would probably be the ones to say no, if anyone. But I
Well,
mean,
they get Chris Dunn and the
yeah.
2017 pick swap. That's basically all they need, right?
Right.
And Tips gets Jay Crowder,
Right.
who I suppose he would
Oh
love
yeah, he
because
would
he's
be
one of those utility players, and he
such a
gets him for
sick
Chris
fit.
Dunn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the main problem I have there. That was the one that's le that was the most tricky for me, is
Right.
would Minnesota accept Crowder for Dunn?
Yeah, because it seems like they actually genuinely want to build around him and trade Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I could see that being a sticking point. But I'm with you in that Jay Crowder would be so much fun under Tibbs.
It would be so good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what you kind of do with Wiggins, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, you can put. I mean, it's probably not ideal, but you could put Crowder as a small ball four at least at times. Or
Oh yeah, you could.
you could do Wiggins at the two occasionally. So there's versatility to be had there. But yeah, I mean, both of those guys are probably best suited to play the three. So there is some positional overlap there. Do we have any last late breaking signings to discuss? Does not look like it.
Well, let's check. Right now, Twitter is just a buzz about the whole Teletovic deal, which I
Yeah,
get.
yep.
I too like that a lot.
Yeah.
Here's a synergy stat. Teletovic ranked 7th in the NBA in jump shooting efficiency in the half court last season, right between Kyle Korver and Klay Thompson.
Damn. Yeah,
I
that
mean,
good. Well done, Milwaukee.
yeah.
That's Seth Partnow. You know he definitely sent like,
Oh,
"Hey."
that's right. That's Seth.
Yeah.
I didn't even
Yeah.
think about that. That's true. Well done,
I
Seth.
know. I'm going to credit him for that. That's one of the best. We're going to add him to the best signings for sure, and we're going to put Jared Bayless in that like second tier. He's not like the Clarkson Lynn caliber, but I'll put him with like
Right.
Al Jefferson.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot right before we
Oh
go.
God.
Where does Kevin Durant? Let's go with the big name boy here.
Yeah,
Where does Kevin Durant land?
he's going to OKC. He's going to do the one and one in OKC. You're not turning down. I know all these guys are like multi-multi-millionaires, but literally $100 million is at stake. You're not turning down $100 million for 1 year. And I mean, it's not like he's that far off. It's not like he's going back. He's not going to the Sixers. Like, he's not going to a garbage team. He's going to a team that was up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the 73-win team. Like, the Thunder are very close, and they made a strong move with the Ibaka trade to shake up their roster and get even stronger. So I think he's going to give it one more go. And I get the sense that these meetings are more laying the groundwork for next year, especially with the Warriors. He's probably saying, like, look, these are the guys I want to play with. Make this happen, basically.
That'd be awesome if that somehow facilitated. Not necessarily Golden State, but like if he ended up in San Antonio.
Yeah. Wait, so do you think he's back in OKC as well, or do you think he.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not as sure as I was like 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's fair.
But no, overall, if you had a gun to my head, I would say OKC.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
who are the Mark Spears of the undefeated ESPN's undefeated said that it was a 90% chance he's going back to OKC and someone needs to really blow him away. So
No, I think that's a fair.
I think he's gone or going back. Let's do one more. Al Horford, where do you think he goes?
Oh, that's a tougher one than the one I gave you.
Sure is.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think he could surprise everyone. Hello, Spurs.
Oh, no. Sarah just squealed when she listened back to this.
No, but seriously, like if I don't know if he has like a list of teams he's gonna visit with.
Yeah. I
I'm
haven't
not sure
seen.
if there is, and the Spurs is not on it, I'm gonna slap Al upside the head because he makes so much sense there. with Tim getting as old as he is,
right.
Of course he would get so many minutes there.
Yeah.
There is breaking news. Joakim Noah, it's official. He's gonna be a Knick. He posted a picture of himself on Instagram with a Knicks cap.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. So,
Godspeed, Knicks. Godspeed.
All right. Remember when you forced, and you did, you totally forced me to shoot a podcast right after Derrick Rose had been traded.
Yeah.
Now you have me in real time, yeah, Bri, with losing Joakim to New York.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be absolutely brutally honest, and I'm very sad right now.
I don't blame you.
I knew it was going to happen,
yeah.
So that kind of, you know, lessened the fall a little bit.
Right.
Like, this hurts.
Yeah.
Seeing him in a Knicks cab.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Yeah.
At least he's topless.
I'll be honest. I told my wife, who was a Bulls fan, last night that he was more or less officially signing. And she was likewise devastated. So I don't blame you, Bulls fans. Like, you can love him as a player. He embodied the Bulls. Like, he was the heart and soul of that team for the last five years.
Really? I like the fact that he keeps on playing with Derek, though.
That's true. Yeah.
That's kind of nice in a way.
Are you going to be a Knicks fan this year?
No. Don't go there, Bri.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, look, we all knew. We all knew, but...
Whoa.
Oh, Chandler Parsons with 4-year, $94 million max to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow. This is not a fake account.
I'm so glad we did not stop recording, Bri.
This is not a fake account. Wow. There you go. You got your Chandler Parsons max that you said was a terrible idea.
What the hell are you doing, Memphis?
Wow.
You know what this is? This is the, please don't leave us my comedy.
Yep, it sure is. It sure is. And hey, I like that in that regard, because if they get Conley back, Conley is a great defender. You have Tony Allen's a great defender. Marcus Hall's a great defender. Mm-hmm. It's not like the Portland thing where if you put him with Dame and CJ and whoever the Portland's going to play in the front court, like that had a lot of defensive holes. But Parsons, I like it. It might...
Tony Allen's like 57, though.
He's like 34, 35, right? I was in Memphis 2 weekends ago. They love him there. There is a poster of him in the airport. He is never leaving Memphis. He's going to be playing until he's 43.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's at least interesting because remember during one of our first podcasts, we talked about how much fun it is shaking up the league a little bit.
Yeah,
this
did
does it.
That sure did it.
I mean, Joakim Noah, former Defensive Player of the Year, All-Star, All-NBA First Team. He's now in New York. Derrick Rose, a former MVP, also in New York.
Yep.
One a guy who had All-Star potential in Chandler Parsons and was looked at as one of the blossoming all-around players in the league, now a Grizzly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing with Parsons, right? He's a recruiter.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe that's what you're paying him for.
Yeah.
Come recruit, dude. $80 million is like of your own money for what you do on the court.
Right.
14
right.
is just for recruiting purposes.
Yeah. I mean, that Memphis team just got a lot more interesting, especially if they can get Conley back. That's.
And if they can't, they're just left with one big doodle right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think. I have a feeling he's coming back. Wow. Good for them. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But man, that's a big deal.
That is a very wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Well,
I'm impressed. That's a good place to end because
I want to say good for him, not good for them. I want to say good for him. So
that's true. All right. Well, again, the July moratorium lasts until July 6th, so none of the contracts we have discussed today are official until July 7th. We will try to get together sometime next week once all these things do get on the books and talk about... I'm sure we're going to have a lot of other madness to talk about. But
I may have stopped crying by then.
Yeah, yeah, hey. Just, I mean, it took me 15 minutes to talk myself into Jared Bayless. I'm very scared. The Sixers still have about $50 million in cap space after that, I think. So,
how did you feel when Allen Iverson was traded?
I don't think I was. I think, but at that point, it was so obvious that it was going to happen. Well, I guess it's the same thing with Noah. I was bummed because I love Allen Iverson, but it was like the writing was on the wall. So it wasn't totally unexpected.
No, but it stung, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's. I mean, yeah. It 10 years later,
right in the middle of the chest.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't blame you, Bulls fans. It's fair. But, and the bright side, Noah's always going to be a part of Chicago. He clearly loves it here as I live in Chicago. So we will be back next week with more free agency coverage. Until then, you've been listening to the NBA podcast presented by B-Ball Breakdown. Check out bballbreakdown.com. For a bunch of free agency coverage, we're going to have daily recaps of all of the signings and then some reaction to some of the bigger ones. You can find us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. Check us out on SoundCloud and iTunes. And until next time, Morton, hope you feel better after the Jono thing.
Appreciate it, Brian. Truly appreciate it.
All right, take care, man.
Likewise, man.
Okay, we're back with some late breaking news just as we signed off. First, Mark Spears of The Undefeated reported Evan Fournier gets a 5-year, $85 million extension to stay in Orlando, which seems...
Great deal!
Yeah, that seems absurdly cheap, especially given the money that is being thrown around. And, as proof of that, Adrian Wojnarowski tweets... Evan Turner has reached an agreement on a 4-year, $75 million deal with Portland.
That's almost $20 million a year for Evan Turner.
Remember, like, 20 minutes ago when you were questioning why you would pay Chandler Parsons a 4-year max deal?
Yeah, you know what? A lot has happened in 20 minutes, Brian.
I mean, as a Sixers guy, I am naturally a little prejudiced toward Evan Turner. And he did admittedly play very well in Boston last year. If I ever expected Evan Turner to make, what is that, like close to $19 million a year?
Yeah.
Woo, buddy.
I mean, look, man, new cap or not, right? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Woj just turned it down. 4 years, $70 million. Doesn't make it any better. It's still...
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is an enormous amount of money. Oh, man.
So, let's start off with Turner, because that's the negative deal as far as I'm concerned. Then let's wrap it up with Fournier, which is a great deal.
Yep.
You know, Turner... He's a shaky defender. He can be good at times.
Yeah.
He can't shoot.
Right.
Like, at all.
Nope.
So what exactly are you getting that you couldn't have gotten for someone else at, like, $10 million a year?
Why would you not just bring back Mo Harkless?
Right.
Like, I mean, you have Al-Farouq Aminu, who signed a 4-year, $30 million deal last year. You are paying Evan Turner more than twice as much.
Evan Turner just got as much as Joakim Noah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. And that was... I would rather pay Joakim Noah that much than Evan Turner.
Yes, I would, too. And we were trashing Joakim Noah's deal.
Right. Yeah. No, this... Mozgov's is still the worst, but I'm going to say Evan Turner's is the second worst deal that we've seen so far.
Yeah. Like, it's not even... Wow, those two, they're like neck and neck in terms of worst contracts. So, but hey, you said good for Chandler Parsons. This is good for Evan. You know, good for Evan. Like somehow he got this money despite being not nearly half as good.
Right. Yes,
half as much worth. Yeah.
We should clarify that we do not begrudge any player for getting as much money as they can. That's true. Go get that money. You're taking money from billionaires anyway. Who gives a damn?
Yeah.
We are making fun of the teams and only the teams every time we say a contract is bad. Timofey Mozgov, good for you. Get that $64 million. Lakers, terrible choice.
But here's the thing, though. Like, Evan Turner in Portland, right?
Yeah.
Remember what they did last year? They wanted guys who were in the same age group as Damian. They wanted guys who could grow with him. They also wanted shooting this year because they felt that they lacked a little bit of shooting. They were awesome shooters with the Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge pairing. They had Wes Matthews and Nicholas Batum. They had great shooters there.
Yeah.
And they go out and give $70 million to a guy who can't shoot, who is a bit older. Like, this makes no sense from where I'm sitting. No. Like, none whatsoever. He's a bench player.
Yeah. I mean, you have to put him in your starting lineup now, right?
Yeah, but I guess you're forced to.
I guess you're moving for Aminu to the four full time. I mean, if I'm the team right now, I am preparing an offer sheet for Mo Harkless. I guess they still have enough money to retain Alan Crabb, but like. If they get anyone else, if they get Dwight Howard, if they get another big, like if they get Mahinmi, they get Biombo, it suddenly becomes really expensive to keep Crabbe too. Yep. So, wow.
Another guy I would rather spend $70 million on.
Yeah, my God.
You know, it sounds like I'm angry. I'm not. I'm just surprised. I'm really surprised. And like, that's a lot of money. Like, our reaction... We were not recording at the time.
No.
We had, like, literally just signed off.
Yeah.
That's why we're back, people. I'm sorry. You're not done with us yet. When you and I, again, we're on webcam.
Yep.
We had similar reactions when that came up. We were both wide-eyed and our jaws both dropped.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Key and Peele sketch where they're outside the movie theater? And he goes running through the revolving door. That was 100% us. Yeah.
I was gonna go with the mask reference.
Yep.
Just without the whistling, because there's no way in hell I'm whistling in that deal.
My God.
What I am whistling over though is the Evan Fournier deal.
Yes. Yeah. That
85 for was it 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. Unreal. Unreal value.
Man, I like that.
Yeah.
So Sean Hyken just tweeted, Jimmy Butler is making less than Evan Turner just got, and some of y'all want to dump him for mediocre asset from the Wolves and Celtics.
That's a fair point. Yeah, as I said earlier, Jimmy Butler's value is going up with every terrible deal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evan Fournier, we've ripped on the Magic a lot, but for them to... I mean, like, how are all these restricted free agents, like... you're a restricted free agent, hire me, because I'm not going to let you agree to a damn thing until July 7th comes around and you can take an offer sheet, because someone is definitely going to give Evan Fournier 4 years, $80 million, without question.
Yeah.
Probably more. Like, I wouldn't have been shocked if he got a max deal.
Jesus, this is crazy.
So good on you, Magic. Good job actually making a deal that makes sense.
Yeah, so much sense. Here's the thing. I was actually... I was hoping that a lot of teams would go after Fournier just to pump up his price, because I feel he's that good.
Right. I know. He's 23 years old. He could shoot the lights out. Like, he is he is the fundamental, such a good steal if you can get him for under $20 million. Like, he's making less money on average than Evan Turner, is he not? And he's, 4 years younger, and he's a much better shooter? Like, he's a... Yeah. Ugh. Oh, man.
So here's one thought that I have right now.
Yeah.
Regarding Evan Turner. Because when Evan Turner signed for 70, and he's a small forward, a veteran small forward, this just set the market for Harrison Barnes.
Zero question. Yeah. Harrison Barnes is getting max. Which is
ridiculous, because he's not that sort of player. I actually think he and Turner are in the same sort of tier.
He's just younger.
He's younger, so that's why there's potential for Barnes to grow to another tier.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, in 4 years, how much development has he shown?
Right. Yeah, I mean...
It's not a lot, so...
Yeah. He's less well-rounded of a player. Like, Evan Turner is a better playmaker. Barnes is not that type of player.
Yeah.
But Barnes is a better shooter, a better defender, so, like...
Correct.
Yeah, in terms of... what they provide on the court there, it could not be more different. But, like, in terms of, do you want, like, what number one, number two, number three option on your team. Like, they're probably in that number four range.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with you. They're similar, but just because Barnes is younger and has theoretically more upside, he's definitely getting a max.
So, you know who's smiling right now?
Everyone? Every agent?
Yeah, every agent. That's a good one. But here's the thing. We were talking about Jimmy Butler and his value, but yeah. You're leaving out someone else here, and that's Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs right now, they are loving every minute of this.
Oh, my God. For sure. Anyone that signed a long-term deal last year is going to look like such a steal. Like, Jay Crowder is going to be paid half as much money as Evan Turner over the next 4 years. Less than half as much. Like, Jay has like $28 million.
Yeah.
Evan Turner is almost making like 2.5 times as much as Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
Just brace yourself for an amnesty, Evan. There's no way.
Yep.
Oh my God. All right.
Well, at least this is fun. And you know what? Yeah. I look forward to seeing what kind of bomb is thrown when we lock off a second time around.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's coming. Evan Turner's getting $75 million. Every Evan Turner-esque contract shoots the percentage of a lockout up like 5%. The odds are only going up.
So here's a fun game. Let's predict the next one.
The next awful contract?
The next contract, period.
Oh.
And I'm going to go Dion Waiters. Dion Waiters in Sacramento, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go 4 years, 84.
It's funny because I know it's like that's so possible, but that would outdo Evan Turner's egregious contract.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Who else is like meeting? I don't think Horford decides for a couple days.
No.
Sure. I'm gonna say Courtney Lee 4 years, $58 million to the Knicks.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, I think they finally get a good value.
Yeah. No, wow. I get it.
All right. Well, again, follow B-Ball Breakdown for all the latest updates. Free agency, I'm sure we will have plenty of Evan Turner reaction. We just need to find a Blazers fan to stop drinking for 10 seconds to react to this deal. Yeah. And then follow us on the NBA pod. We will be keeping track of all the latest free agency stuff too. Morton, let's pray we avoid any more bombshells, at least for our two teams.
Yeah, my condolences, Portland fans.
Yeah,
for real. Sorry, and congratulations, Magic fans. Well deserved.
Yeah,
that's a tough one, Portland fans.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll catch you later, Mort.
You too, Bri.